The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Is this start versus the Bills one of Cam's most important of his career? I'll get into that in a second. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Also, what should Major League Baseball do about Justin Turner? Did you hear what Stephen A? He got a text from an insider in Major League Baseball after at first he disagreed with me about the punishment for Justin Turner, and he wound up agreeing after he read this text. Wait till you hear it. Be a part of Max Kellerman Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. That would be the Dr. Pepper call-in line. 888-SAY-ESPN. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football's back. So is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving football. College football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. By the way, Cam Newton enters this game, and the Patriots enter this game not only 2-4, and against a divisional rival in the Bills, who are now considered the class of the division, 5-2. But, oh, by the way, and this is Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Before, it wasn't Straight Talk. I was giving you Crooked Talk until just now. Now it's straight. Edelman's not available. Remember the receivers last year that everyone was complaining about Tom Brady didn't have? Cam doesn't have them, plus Edelman's a year older, and oh yeah, he also doesn't have Edelman against the Bills. Remember how the defense carried Tom Brady and the running game? And Brady led, there's no doubt about it. They led to the tune of 12 games. They didn't win the last game of the season, which they needed to win against the Miami Dolphins. And they lost their first playoff game. They didn't have a playoff win. Not so easy to win to make the conference finals when you don't have that bye in the first round and then a home game in the second round, right? At any rate, that defense, 9 opt-outs. When you look at injuries and opt-outs before the season, 9 players off the defense and no Edelman. Cam does not have a lot to work with. I'm making excuses for Cam. Cam, I mean, you can't throw the ball 15 times and throw 3 interceptions. But this is the reality that he's dealing with. We argued on First Take today who's under more pressure. Mike McCarthy or Carson Wentz. And I actually said McCarthy because the Cowboys look like they quit. And Wentz has apologists. No matter what he looks like, they apologize. He's doing great. Don't worry about it. He's the greatest quarterback ever. And I'll point out, actually, no. So I think McCarthy is under more pressure in the sense that he needs to... who has to prove more? McCarthy has to prove that his team didn't quit on him. You know, Brian Flores, think about last year, beginning of last year, the Dolphins quit. We were literally asking after the first couple weeks, are the Miami Dolphins the worst NFL team of all time? They've quit on the coach. No, they didn't, actually. They just weren't good yet. By the end of the year, they beat the Patriots in a must-win game for the Patriots. And they're 3-3 this year. So Brian Flores still has a job. And in fact, he looks pretty good. Mike McCarthy is under tremendous pressure. But there are those who would say, look, and Stephen A. made the case, and I think Damian Woody also made the case. Look, Mike McCarthy doesn't have his quarterback. He doesn't have his backup quarterback. He doesn't have his offensive line. His defense is dead last or second to last in every single statistic. You know, what do you want from that guy? Well, all right. That's a good explanation as to why the team doesn't perform very well. Still can't get routed that way. You still can't look like you have no idea what you're doing. And the same applies for Cam Newton. Nope, the Patriots have very little right now for Cam to work with. But you can't lose 2 consecutive weeks like you lost. You know, you can't lose again like you lost last week. You can't get routed. You can't throw the ball 15 times and 3 of them are interceptions. Just can't do it. That's why Cam was like, hey, I keep playing like this. I won't have a starting job. He's not wrong. Now, I have to believe that there's something wrong with Cam physically. Just like when they yanked Garoppolo, I had to think, and they were like, oh, is he going to start? Well, listen, Garoppolo's good. Oh, no, look, see, I told you Garoppolo is no good. No, Garoppolo's excellent, actually. I don't care what you say about Garoppolo. Wherever he plays, he wins. And whenever he doesn't play, they almost always lose. His whole career, like with the Niners, is 2-0 with New England. gets to the Niners. They can't win. They go 5-0. He gets hurt. They can't win again. They go like 3-13. He gets healthy. They go 12-4. I mean, you know, they can't win without him, and they almost can't lose with him. Garoppolo's good. And, I mean, if he was really that close to replacement level, then his replacement would not lose almost every game. Anyway, I knew when Garoppolo sat, or they were talking about maybe he won't play, there's got to be a physical issue. And sure enough, he got healthy. It was his ankle. He got healthy and came back and routed the Patriots. I have to believe there's something physically wrong with Cam. And by the way, he just had COVID. You know, if you have the flu, you're not the same 1 week later as you were. Like, you know, I mean, you might be healthier than you were, but it's not like you're usually 100% a couple days after the flu. This is COVID-19. And I don't think it's coincidental that he looked really sharp to start the season, first couple games. And then he has a bad game that he wins against the Raiders. And then he's diagnosed with COVID and he can't play. And then the games since he came back, he doesn't look physically the same. It seems to me, since they're on either end of his COVID illness, that they could be related to COVID. Maybe he was asymptomatic or largely asymptomatic when he played the Raiders. I don't know. And maybe he's still feeling it. We don't know the lasting effects. Or maybe it's something else. But physically, he doesn't seem the same to me. Let me tell you what I mean. Forget about offensive line protection. Forget about what receivers are open or not open, or getting separation or not getting separation. Cam Newton, in the beginning of the season, was throwing a beautiful spiral. Right, the ball coming out of his hand looked good. And he was accurate and throwing the ball down the field. And he looked really good. Like when he played Russell Wilson, I don't know, I guess Russell Wilson was a little bit better, but that's the feeling I had. Like, ooh, I'm looking at two elite quarterbacks. Who's better? And now Cam forgot how to play? Or you might say, look, his mechanics have always been inconsistent, and that's why he's inconsistent. There's a difference between being accurate and being, what would you say, being able to thread the needle and being accurate, right? Like, in other words, you could be accurate on certain given plays, but can you do that consistently? And maybe that's what's going on with Cam. Maybe it's always been this way, but he won MVP once upon a time. He took a team to the Super Bowl once upon a time without much offense around him. And again, under Norv Turner as his offensive coordinator, not that long ago, well, not that long, right before he got injured, he looked better than he'd ever looked from the pocket to me. So you mean to tell me if he's healthy now, he can't do that again in New England with the coaching in New England? I think he can, and I saw him do it. And the fact that he apparently forgot how to do it leads me to believe he's not 100%. But it's a no-excuses league, a full-contact sport. No one's trying to hear excuses. You may give an explanation. It's not an excuse. It's like in boxing. I came into the fight with a bad elbow, shoulder, whatever. Like, everyone comes in with bumps and bruises. You're sparring all for 6 weeks before the fight, right? Well, football players, that's what it is. It's largely a war of attrition. You're getting tackled for week, you know, week after week after week. You ever talk to, you know, so anyone who played in the NFL, you ever heard them talk about it? Can't get out of bed for a couple days. Marcellus Wiley, my old radio partner here on ESPN Radio in L.A., used to talk about he couldn't get up to go to the bathroom. He kept a like a Gatorade bottle or something by the bed. And then like 3 days later or 2 days later, you got to be at practice. It's a brutal way to make a living, and injuries can be explanations for why someone's not playing well, but if they're out on the field, it's not an excuse. I'm not making excuses for Cam. How he plays is how he plays, but I do think there must be an explanation other than Cam's just no good, because I've seen him be quite good, not, you know, I don't know, weeks ago, 4 or 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago. We're going to talk to Pedro Gomez, MLB insider on the Shell Pennzoil performance line. Is he there yet, or am I going to wait another minute, Raj? I'm going to wait another minute to talk to him about Justin Turner. What's going on with Justin Turner is so outrageous. So Justin Turner may have tested positive, or maybe it was inconclusive. I've found what I've read to be inconclusive about that before the game started. I think the day before, they retested the sample, and in the seventh inning, it came back positive, either again or now this time it was not inconclusive. It was conclusive. He was positive. He has COVID. COVID-19. He got the coronavirus. A disease that has killed almost 250,000 Americans. And by the way, for anyone listening who is especially susceptible to low-quality information, let me explain to you. When people are out there, it's only like 9 or 10,000 who died of COVID. It's a fake news. It's the most idiotic thing I ever heard. Try not to repeat idiotic things you read that originate from low-quality sources. Let me explain what people are saying. The 9 or 10,000 people who died of COVID, died of only COVID. Tens of thousands of others, hundreds of thousands of others, have died of COVID and they had another condition. Diabetes, whatever it is. That's what we mean when we say, when people say, oh, it's just like the flu. No, if you have an underlying condition, it's deadly. It can be deadly. And even if you don't, it can be deadly. But especially if you have an underlying condition. That's why wearing a mask is not, well, you know, you don't tread on me. No. Wearing a mask is a selfless act. The selfish are saying, I don't want to wear it. And by the way, masks are no fun to breathe in. I get it. I don't like them either. But if you wear them as an act of selflessness. So when Justin Turner was told he can't go back out on the field to celebrate with his teammates, and he broke protocol, that was an incredibly selfish act. Now, guys, I need to see the, here we go. That was Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less only at Walmart. Now, Pedro Gomez, ESPN MLB insider, joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pedro, what can you tell me about the latest on the MLB investigation into Justin Turner?
Max, great to talk to you again. I would say that MLB is incredibly upset and angry that this happened, because what it does is it stains the entire baseball season. At the very beginning, we had the Marlins having to quarantine and miss a week, more than a week's worth of games. Then the Cardinals had to miss, and that was the storyline. And then they got to the postseason, and the postseason actually worked. Everything was working. There were no issues. And then on the last day, this happens, and it just throws a complete stain over everything. And that's really the reason also. That's one of the big reasons. Look, the health issue is the number one reason. But they're really upset that here they had everybody following these great protocols that allowed them to get to the finish line. And all of a sudden, one player goes in and just blows through everything and says, no, I'm more important than everything else. It doesn't matter. And yeah. That's the anger. That's the anger that they have.
I understand him kissing his wife. He may be thinking, look, at this point, she has it if I have it. What I'm curious about is the following. We haven't heard from Justin Turner. He needs to open his mouth and start talking. No. He needs to say something about this. Because
also haven't heard from one Dodger person. One executive. Nobody.
We need to hear. Yes, that's right. But we have information. We have information that is leaked out about it, but nothing from Turner. Let's look at it this way. If he's the only positive test, I suppose it's not totally impossible that he got COVID without breaking protocol. But if he's the only one who got it, as my father likes to say, if you hear hoofbeats in North America, don't rule out zebras, but think horses first. If he's the only one who got it, it's likely he did break protocol, I would say. I think it's fair to say it's likely he did. And when he went out onto the field, according to a source at Stephen A. Smith discussed, he was out on the field with a teammate who has a one-month-old with a health issue, I believe, with a manager who had cancer, with another teammate with an underlying condition. And they were all under the impression, apparently, or some of them were under the impression, that he would be quarantined. And he decided to break protocol. Is that also your understanding?
Yeah, my understanding is. And then when he was out there, Major League Baseball saw him and sent security over saying, get him off the field right now. And his response was, F off. I'm staying.
Why didn't security escort him away? Do we know?
Well, when we're talking about Major League Security, we're talking about, you know, people who tend to be former FBI agents, but they don't carry a badge. And certainly the last thing I think that anybody wants, the optic, is that somebody is being wrestled to the ground and being taken off, especially someone as easily as noticed as a Justin Turner.
You know, now, something though, Pedro, before you go on,
what they should have done.
But yeah, before you go on, I understand why no one would really, you would think like, oh, we didn't have a contingency in case a player said I refuse to leave the field. And do you really want to try and wrestle them down, especially when they have COVID, right? Like, you don't want to get it. I understand
that. All of those aspects.
Yeah, I understand that. On the other hand, I've seen James Dolan, the Knicks owner, have fans removed, have a player removed for apparently almost nothing, and apparently it's their right to do so. So why is Major League Baseball so concerned, or the Dodgers so concerned, about how it looks for Justin Turner if fans are escorted out all the time when he's breaking protocols and putting people at risk?
Max, I would say they weren't prepared for it. I would say they were not prepared for that type of a response from a player, nor were they prepared to have to physically remove somebody from a ball field, at a time when the celebration is going on. Mm. I would say they were not prepared for it. And I don't know that you really could think that out, saying, okay, if we have a player who refuses to leave, we're going to, you know, come in and just physically remove him. I don't know that that necessarily exists, that plan exists from a celebratory type of moment. It's a horrible optic, and it's horrible.
This is what I want to know, Pedro. This is what I want to know from Justin Turner. Is he one of these people who is so susceptible to low information, to low quality information? Does he not have the capacity to understand this is bad information, this is presented as a fact, but in fact it's untrue, this is a fantastical claim, this is a conspiracy theory? Is he one of those people who doesn't understand that you need to wear a mask, doesn't understand the efficacy of them, and is flouting it? You know, like, is that really what he believes and is flouting it? It reminds me of Rudy Gobert when he touched all the microphones and everything, making light of it, but he didn't know he was positive, and this is before everyone understood how serious it was, and then he immediately apologized. Whoa, I'm sorry, I really screwed up. But now this has been going on for a while. We have almost 250,000 Americans dead from COVID, millions and millions more who have it and are contagious. And I would love to know from Justin Turner what his feelings about this are, and whether any of this was a kind of, when he tells them to bleep off security, if he has that basic feeling about security measures around this disease.
Here's my understanding, Max, and I spoke to a couple of Dodger players, not just now, but a few weeks ago, that when the Marlins and the Cardinals issues came up, and those teams had to be pulled off the schedule for more than a week at a time, and baseball said, look, the only way this is going to work is if everybody takes it seriously. Turner, being one of the longer tenured Dodgers, when they had their meeting with their players, I'm talking about back in July, late July, early August, when baseball said, we've got to clamp down, Turner was one of the players that actually stood up and said, this has to be taken seriously. Hmm. We have to do something in order for this season to go on. We have so much at stake here. We have this great ball club. It would be a shame for us not to be able to have a chance to win it all because of this. So he took it, at least at that point, that seriously.
That's good to know. That's good information.
I'm not capable of telling you whether he is one of these conspiracy theorists who says, oh, this is all BS, and maybe he was just doing that at the time because he knew that's the only way the baseball season would continue. But he was one of the players that did stand up and say, we have to take this seriously.
You know what bothers me, Pedro? That's very good information.
Was it so that the season would go on, or was it because he truly knew how serious this disease is?
Yeah, I did not know that. But I want to say this. Even if Justin Turner is thinking about it rationally, and he thinks, look, I've had it, I have it, but I've had it this whole time, and I was in the dugout with teammates and everything, and the celebration's out on the field in the open air. And in fact, if you wear a mask, that's extremely effective at not spreading the virus. And if I have a mask on while I'm on the field and we're in the open air, because it's the amount of like virus that's coming out of your mouth as you speak, you know, as a percentage of the volume of air, right? That's why outside is much safer than inside. So all those things considered, yeah. I could go out there and take some pictures. To hell with this. I've just won the World Series with my team. I want to be there with him. I understand that impulse. But if there are protocols in place and your and family members of your teammates believe you're quarantined and you go out onto the field and you remove your mask, even if he's thinking, yes, but I'm facing forward. I'm parallel with Dave Roberts and my teammates. I'm not turning toward them with my mask off my mouth. Even if you're thinking that, the fact that you are positive and contagious at that moment and are putting your own experience of winning the World Series and wanting to celebrate it in that moment on the field with your teammates ahead of the health of everybody else is the definition of a selfish act. And I think there should be a severe punishment for Justin Turner. I would like to hear his side of the story from him. But if it more or less jibes with what we've been hearing, I think he needs a lengthy suspension.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Should Jerry hit the reset button with the Cowboys? We'll talk about that a little later on. The Max Kellerman Show is brought to you by Shell. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Giants' Will Hernandez, the guard. I was happy the Giants took him in that draft. Tested positive for COVID-19. Chargers players also tested positive for COVID-19. Here we are, heading toward flu season. Rates of COVID are spiking. I don't know if, you know, or maybe they're just continuing to climb. But in other words, it's not just a spike that's then going to be flattened. The curve is not going to be flattened if we open everything up. We're going to have to close things up again. And that, by the way, that was going to happen anyway. We were going to open, and then the curve would go up, and then we'd close again, and it would go down. But the rates are not supposed to be what they are right now. In Canada, they're less than half. The rates are less than half. Obviously, it's a smaller country, much lower population. But their rates are less than half of our rates because we have sucked at fighting the coronavirus because of a disastrous, impossibly irresponsible handling of it, starting at the top of our federal executive branch and trickling down through a lot of heads of the executive in different states and just generally irresponsible public figures in our politics, telling us at first, you know, it's 15 people, soon to be none, and then we have it under control and we've ended the pandemic. And in the meantime, at the same time, they're releasing statements, well, we're not going to get this under control. It ain't under control, folks. Dr. Fauci now saying the end of next year. That's hopefully. If we start doing the right thing today, maybe. But like, you know, listen, in the beginning it was, should we even be playing tackle football? Probably not. But at least let's give it a shot. I didn't think they'd get through the baseball season. They did. And Justin Turner controversy notwithstanding, they did. We crowned a champion. And by the way, Major League Baseball looked at it and said, okay, the players won't go in a bubble. The players wanted 82 games. Baseball finally said, we can't come to an agreement. We're going to unilaterally impose a 60-game season, almost a third of our normal season. The NFL was greedy. They were like, no, let's not do – we ain't doing – we're going to have all our games. And we'd like to have some fans too. Good luck. But so far, they're ahead of where I thought they'd be. I have to admit it. And part of that is the tests are now more readily available. And part of it is we know much more about the disease now. That's why death rates are declining. Deaths are accumulating close to 250,000, but the rate of death compared to the number of cases is declining because we understand more about the disease now. Still a lot we don't understand, including the lingering effects. Of course, hope that Will Hernandez and the Chargers players who have COVID get better you know, hope for their speedy recovery and no lasting effects. Let me get on to Ben Roethlisberger now.
Well, it's
first
tough.
Of all,
it's a physical.
No, guys, not yet. I'm going to set this up. First of all, the Steelers-Ravens rivalry is one of the best in sports. And they are two proud franchises with great histories who consistently field competitive teams. Even when you look at the beginning of the season and you say, I don't think that's a playoff team, you know, through the years, but they're usually competitive. If you beat the Ravens or the Steelers, you've beaten a competitive NFL team. And this game is especially interesting because Lamar Jackson and the passing game for the Ravens have not looked good enough to pass muster. And Ben Roethlisberger, while he's getting rid of the ball much quicker than he used to, a lot of RPOs now, right? Just threw three interceptions. Like, Roethlisberger's QBR puts him as a mid-pack quarterback. And I want to be very clear. I think what Roethlisberger has done is amazing. He came back from an elbow surgery with three ligaments in his throwing arm on his elbow, where I remember him saying something at the time, like the doctor told him that no quarterback has ever had this and come back, something like that. Anyway, not only has he come back after a year off and a catastrophic injury, he's playing solid. I think he's a real NFL quarterback, starting quarterback. But he ain't been Ben Roethlisberger. Their record is 6-0 because he's been solid, and he has a great defense, and he has some offensive weapons, and he has a great coach. I think the Steelers could win it all this year, well, if not for the Chiefs, if Roethlisberger is himself. But he hasn't been quite. He's been an amazing version of what I was expecting, but not himself, really. Roethlisberger's not a guy you'd expect in the middle of the pack throwing three interceptions in a must-win in a game against undefeated teams, where, by the way, his team did win, and he deserves credit. He's the winning quarterback. But he threw three INTs. Anyway, Ben Roethlisberger, how would you? Well, first of all, whoever is so who has the itchy trigger finger on this sound? I'm setting it up. Raj, Chris, who is that?
I don't know, man. I'm gonna have to call the 1-800 snitch hotline on you. You had a 4 or 5 second pause there.
That's right. I'll tell you when I want it. Ben Roethlisberger, how would you define the Steelers-Ravens rivalry?
Well, it's tough. It's a physical one. It can be nasty at times. But I've always felt, as many times as my nose has been broke, we've had injuries. It's been a close game. It's always been football in its truest form in the sense that it's never dirty. It's never been nasty. It's just been hard-nosed football. And so this is one you always want your bye week to be after.
I kind of agree with him. Guys, Raj, let me ask you, can you think offhand of a better divisional rivalry at the moment than Steelers and Ravens? So, like, count the history, but also count how they stack up now.
Right, but I'm going to weigh more on at the moment, and I can't think of one bigger than this. I mean, this is the game of the week by far, and another physical test for the Steelers after playing the Titans last week.
That's right. But, like, I think about the NFC East, that's the garbage division, right? The AFC East, the Patriots are not what they were, and, like, the Bills and the Dolphins, there's nothing there compared to Ravens-Steelers, right? You take the NFC North, Bears got exposed, the Packers are clearly the class of the division, Vikings and Lions ain't doing anything this year, as usual with the Lions, but the Vikings also, they looked at some promise last year, but it's not happening. So, you know, so far still the AFC North, right? In the South, what do you got? I guess Saints and Bucks, but it's not like they have this storied rivalry, Saints and Bucks. What's there, really? I guess the NFC West, simply because you have a lot of good teams. That's the best division, top to bottom. But is there a single rivalry that's like Steelers-Ravens? I don't think there
Niners
is.
Niners and Seahawks are pretty good, but
Niners and Seahawks are really good. And by the way, the Rams also and the Seahawks, like, it could be one year that one of those teams is great, the other team beats them twice, right? But none of those are, when all things considered, that's not the Steelers and the Ravens. I know what Roethlisberger means. Like, I think that's the best divisional rivalry in football right now. I think Steelers-Ravens got it, unless I'm really forgetting something. Lamar Jackson, former Heisman winner, will need protection. Heisman protection is brought to you by Allstate. get better protected with Allstate. You've never been in better hands. Lamar and Big Ben, both with a lot on the line here. Lamar has never played Ben Roethlisberger's Steelers. He has not played well and has failed twice in the playoffs and three times against Mahomes and the Chiefs, which are kind of viewed in a kind of meta way as his chief rival, so to speak. But the Steelers with Roethlisberger and the Ravens with Lamar Jackson, last time Roethlisberger played, it was Flacco. And last time Lamar Jackson played, it wasn't Roethlisberger. The winner of this game could tell you something.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
With the Dr. Pepper call-in line, the Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive celebrating 8 years of donating cars to veterans in need. Learn more at keystoprogress.com.
Max. Max.
Lane in Ohio, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, if Justin Turner had to be pulled in the eighth, all of his teammates that he was with all day long, that they have been pulled also due to contact tracing.
It's not a bad point. It's really not a bad point. So far, by the way, there have been no other positive tests, but that's not a bad point. News from Max Kellerman Nation. Lane just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. The point being, if Turner came back positive, then according to contact tracing, they should have shut down the World Series right then. Dave in New York, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, this is Chris in L.A. I just wanted to tell you, you hit it out the park this morning with Stephen A. He finally had to acknowledge that Justin Turner should be...
Well, Stephen A. got, to be fair, Stephen A. got new information. So upon hearing...
Well, even before that.
Stephen A. and I just disagreed based on the old information. But once he got the new information, he conceded, yeah, there should be a punishment. Yes, I was excellent as always. That part was very true, Raj. It's a very good point Chris just brought up. News on from Max Kellerman Nation. Chris hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call in line to tell me how excellent I was today. And, Raj, it might be the best point made in sports broadcasting all week, I think.
You were also extra handsome today. The great suit. You had a great angle. I mean, yeah,
another
great,
excellent nice point. Tie. You and Chris tied for best point made in sports broadcasting this week. Very handsome.
Fair enough.
I learned something about my beard today. You know, I won't color my beard. I can't do it. I can't color my hair. You just get older. Come on. Anyway, I noticed that it didn't look as white this week. And it's because I sheared it down instead of totally shaving it off. Usually the weekend comes, I shave it off so my kids don't complain when I give them kisses, you know? Mm-hmm. And this time I sheared it down and I thought it's growing back like darker. But it occurred to me the reason is the front end of the hair is lighter, the back is darker. It kind of whitens from the top down, right? So the darker hair is now farther out instead of being totally cut off. See that?
Okay, look at you.
I figured out a trick to keep it from going like totally white, you know, in the next week or so.
Well,
Tyrone in Philly, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yes. Why in the world do you think that Brian Flores made Tua Tagovailoa a starter over Ryan Fitzpatrick when Ryan Fitzpatrick was playing so well?
Do you think Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to win you a Super Bowl? Because I don't.
No, I don't think Ryan Fitzpatrick
will. And that's the point. Like, Ryan Fitzpatrick is just good enough to be dangerous to a team. He's good enough to make you think he's better than our rookie quarterback, you know, the guy with the upside, and good enough to start him still. So he's just good enough to be dangerous, and you wind up winning 8 or 9 games and not really going anywhere. No, you want to develop Tua as soon as possible. On the rookie deal is where you can make hay in the NFL when your quarterback's on the rookie deal, if he's a franchise-caliber quarterback. And in his second year is when you see the biggest jump in terms of his development. But that only happens if he has some playing time in the first year. So the Dolphins were not in didn't have an easy choice, but it's a good choice to have, right? That's a good, tough choice to make. Do we go with the future superstar or the current guy who's pretty good? Terrence in Baltimore, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max. Just wanted to kind of debunk your notion about the Pittsburgh Steelers-Ravens rivalry being the best. I could actually make a claim that the Niners-Seahawks, even going back to Pete Carroll, Jim Harbaugh, even Richard Sherman mm-hmm. against Michael Crabtree and Aaron. And then also last year, you know, you're going down to the division title on the line at mm-hmm. the goal line, making a play. I think
you have a hell of a case. I think you have a hell of a case, but there's something about Steelers-Ravens when you include the not-so-recent history also that I would make the number one, but I think Seattle and the Niners are probably at this moment number two. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.